The other thing I wanted to mention, our movie tonight is Innocence Betrayed, which is a documentary, a relatively short one, made by one of the most effective gun ownership organizations, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms, the one I was the most familiar with when I worked in Washington. And I thought long and hard about recommending it to you because it's very tough stuff. And it goes through many of the examples of government genocide over the last 100 years, particularly of populations who've been disarmed, and the relationship between allowing yourself to be disarmed and genocide. And I think it's well worth watching because many of us have enjoyed living in a society where we were, or certainly felt valued. And now, as that changes, I think it's important to understand the history, not just because of governments, but we are living in a situation now where large corporations are able to field very significant private security forces who've been known to behave in ways, to act above the law with impunity. So I would recommend that to you as well. Well, Franklin, before we end this evening, let's just talk a little bit about the relationship between the right to bear arms and having a well-armed population and our ability to protect our financial assets. What say you on that subject?
Well, you know what? I've always thought that the reason that the federal government has not devolved into a complete tyranny yet is that there are 400 million guns in the United States and they don't know where they are. I think
Right.
it's no more secret than that. And so what's hidden behind all of this push for gun control is not their concern about the poor victims of this shooting or that shooting, but simply that they want to know where the guns are so they can pick them up when they want to. And it's not a, I mean, people may think it's not a pleasant subject, but the simple fact is that just the existence of those guns and their weapons and their unknown location is an enormous counterweight to tyranny. And
And
by counterweight to tyranny, you have to stop and think that also means it is a tremendous force in favor of the rule of law.
right.
Because what is tyranny but the destruction of the rule of law? So,
Right.
I mean, you can't separate the things. They all go together. That's just the
Right.
way
And
it is.
I think many people associate, gun ownership as protecting our concern that the government is going to physically march us off to camps. And that's really not a concern of mine. It's very expensive to keep people in camps. It's much more economically intelligent to sort of harvest them in place in their neighborhoods. We had a great interview in the first quarter of the Salera Report with historian Neil Howe, who is an expert on demographics and has worked with the Concord Coalition, which is a group of private citizens focused on the budget issues. And one of the things he said when we were preparing is he said, we have $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities. Exactly how is this going to get sorted out? And the reality is, if you look how it's going to get sorted out if we're disarmed, it's very different than how it's going to get sorted out if we're not disarmed. In other words, we're talking about a leadership group that's got to figure out who's going to pay for $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities, or whose obligations are going to get abrogated. And it's easy to say that if you have no power and no skin in the game, guess who's going to get rolled? Because that's what this is going to come down to. Who's got the power? Go.
I wish that I could hang out with Larry Pratt more often because I find him extremely encouraging because he sees more resistance in the American people than I do. And you and I both know the cost of resistance, and I think that's one of the things that makes me very quiet and very contemplative when people begin to talk about resistance. I understand the cost. And I don't want to see things come to violence, but if it does, it just has to, because there's some things that are worse than violence. one of those things is slavery. One of those things is letting your children descend into slavery. And so, but there has to be a determination. The will to be free must live in the hearts of people. You can't put it there. If it's not there to begin with, you can't put it there. And so that's the big question that puzzles me. How many people in the United States are willing to fight? And let's be clear. I mean, I'll be perfectly clear about it. When your rights are overrun, when they're determined to lead you into tyranny and destroy your rights and your children's rights, steal your property and the rest of it, then you have a duty and an obligation to defend yourself. You have a duty to your children, if nothing else. And you have a duty,
and you also have a duty under the Constitution to establish and reassert the rule of law. I mean, that is our obligation as citizens. So, you know, because what I keep trying to get back to, and one of the reasons I wanted Edwin Vieira to join us on the Solera Report and talk about his research, is what the financial system needs and what we all need is a lawful a system where everybody is obligated and can be enforced to obey the rule of law. And so whatever we do, we have to get back to that place. That's where we're trying to get to. So you've got a group of people who are functioning in a lawless way. How can we hold them accountable and get them back, you know, into a lawful paradigm? Anyway. Okay, well, to me, you know, it's very funny because I was out in California with Caroline Casey, who I love, and she said, we were on a panel, and she said, you know, something about, very negative about these high testosterone young men who are promoting guns. And I turned to her, I was shocked, and I said, well, I guess you want our taxes to go up much faster. And she looked at me and she said, what does that have to do with guns? And I thought, you know, this country is in for an enormous education. Yes, I do. Okay, well, we didn't get a chance to talk about Bitcoin, and that's a long subject, so we'll delay that for another day. But I think maybe if we could just take 2 minutes on Bitcoin. As I said, I've made quite an effort to warn people to avoid Bitcoin. I know, Franklin, you have too, and we were certainly gratified this week to realize that a lot of our subscribers had succeeded in avoiding it. I do think there is going to be a very concerted push by the venture capital community to promote things, whether Bitcoin or things like Bitcoin or what I call cryptocurrencies. I think it's a very dangerous political development and a dangerous financial development, because we're talking about, you know, fiat currencies that are not grounded. And if you move your bank deposit out of something that's insured and something for which a bank is liable to, and into something for which no one is liable for and nobody is accountable for, you're talking about another layer of disassociation. And Franklin described earlier what the dangers are of that. So it's something I'm going to be talking a lot more about on the Solera Report, but I'm going to keep saying it, beware, 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 because, I don't see how you're going to bribe the border guards with your Bitcoins. Franklin, you want to add anything?
Well, yeah, I think reality is your best friend, you know. I mean, it's not nice to try to fool Mother Nature or Mother Market. And when you see a market, the chart told me a month and a half ago, somebody showed me a chart of Bitcoin. I said, well, that's in a blow-off right now. There's no way you're right about that, because it's in a blow-off. And it was about 140 then. So I think the first thing is that. And the second thing is, I think Bitcoin was driven by an ideology. And you can call it free market ideology or libertarian ideology, whatever you want. And however praiseworthy or valuable those ideas may be, they're not valuable unless they're put into practice by adults. And by adults, what I mean is by people who understand all the checks and balances necessary to make a financial business work. And I say that as a person who stumbled into a lot of trouble trying to do something similar 30 years ago. So this was not, I understand how attractive it is to say, ah, this is just, you know, sort of anarcho-capitalism where only so many can be made. You had to suppress the suspicion, and I think virtually certain knowledge, that anything that's done on a computer can be undone by a computer.
Right.
And probably has a back door that probably the government could get into. So all of those, I think all of those things were warning signs that ought to have flashed and told people, wait, just put the brakes on. This is not a place to put very much money.
Right. It's a very, this is a very risky place. And it's also a place where you're prototyping and helping the virtual currencies emerge that Mr. Global wants to really control. So, okay, well, Franklin, thank you very much. We're going to be back with you in a month. A lot's going to happen in the next month, so hold on.
We'll keep our powder dry. How about that?
I'll keep you, yeah, perfect. We'll keep your powder dry. Okay, coming up,